This is Guildcast, episode 44, for September 2nd, 2006. Hey everyone, welcome back to Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean. This week I'll be discussing the meaning of titles in the game and how they pertain to your character or account. Before I do that, though, I'll say hi to the people who asked to be mentioned this time around. They include the Galrath Monk, Horcron the Smasher, and Fear the Mullet, who says he's staying in pre-searing to help out any new players if they need it. Also, I got a couple voicemails this week that I'm going to play in a second, but one is concerning a change in the Ranger skill Ignite Arrows. He actually told me about this in-game also, but sometimes it's just hard for me to respond or take down notes while I'm in the game, so I often forget. But I'm glad that he called in about this to remind me, and maybe someone out there knows the answer. I did want to point out one thing, though, that I remember him telling me in the game that he didn't mention in the voicemail, and he said that the time for Ignite Arrows is now reduced for when he uses Barrage. But after a second, I realized what he actually said, and Ignite Arrows won't work with Barrage since it's a preparation, and Barrage removes all preparations. So I'm wondering if that's the problem he's having. But anyway, take a listen, and it might at least make for some good forum discussion.
Hello, everybody. This is Brisinger Master from Texas. I've already told Sean this. I was just wondering if everyone had realized that the Ranger skill Ignite Arrows has been cut short. You only get it for 12 seconds instead of the full 24 that you're supposed to. So let me know on that. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, this is Mr. Monkington. Yeah, just saying hi. Just reminding people about the Guildcast Price Checker service. Email me at guildcastpricechecker@googlemail.com and I'll send you an email with an in-depth explanation about your item as soon as I get the email. Thanks. Love the show.
Now, as for game updates, we had a few new developments this week. First off, War Machine has won the Guild Wars Factions Championship. You can check out more info on that whole match on the guildwars.com main page. Also, if you haven't seen them yet, check out the little day-by-day journals that ArenaNet has been keeping on these trips that they're taking. They go a little further into letting us know just what these trips are like and how exciting they can be. Also, there's a Heroes Ascent extended weekend event going on this weekend already, if you don't know about it yet. This is the official word from ArenaNet. Come and claim your fame in Heroes Ascent during this Labor Day weekend's special event. For the first time in the history of Heroes Ascent, participants will face off against each other in smaller teams of six, earning double fame along the way. To add to the fun, this exciting extended event will begin at noon Pacific Daylight Time on Friday, September 1st, and will run all the way until noon Pacific Daylight Time on Tuesday, September 5th. Be sure to join us in Heroes Ascent this weekend and take advantage of that extra time to rack up your fame. And finally in the news, we have something that's caused quite a stir since it was first announced, and that's the new PvP unlock packs that are available to purchase now through the Guild Wars store. Guild Wars players now have the opportunity to purchase PvP unlock packs for all Prophecy skills. For $9.99 US dollars, or €8.99 euro, £5.99 pounds, you can unlock all of the 70 plus Prophecy skills for a single profession. And then for $39.99 US dollars, or €35.99 euro, or £23.99 pounds, you can unlock all 450 plus Prophecy skills for the six professions. Once unlocked, skills can be used by any of your PvP characters. Head to the Guild Wars official store to take advantage of this much requested opportunity. When I first heard about this, my initial reaction was not like rage or anything like that, like it's been with a lot of other people. I mean, people are really getting bent out of shape about this. But I did decide right off the bat that this isn't really something I'll be buying. I might get a character slot one day, or maybe if they introduce some other things in the store, I might purchase something there, but this is just, I don't think this is really for me. It's just, I don't know, it just seems like it's too eBay-ish, I guess. And I'm guessing and hoping that once you buy and unlock all of these skills, that you don't get the titles that are associated with it, like the Skill Hunter title, things like that. Maybe that way the titles can help differentiate between the people who work their butts off finding, buying, and capping these skills, and those who spent 3 seconds and $40 of mommy and daddy's money getting their skills. But of course, that's just my opinion. It will certainly change PvP, though, that's for sure. Also, you know, speaking of my opinion, I wanted to touch on something really quickly that I guess has become a concern of some listeners. I've gotten a few emails about how this show has changed lately to be more about my opinions instead of just stating the hard facts like I used to do. A few people were nice about it in their emails, but there were a few who weren't so nice. One even told me that he's going to stop listening to Guildcast because of it. And, you know, I think some people are concerned that I'm bad-mouthing ArenaNet or the way they handle this game, but to me it's just the opposite. Now, sure, I may complain about little things here and there, like I just did with the PvP unlock packs that you can buy, but you just have to realize that this is my opinion only. I certainly don't represent ArenaNet in any way, and in fact, I respect the fact that they're a company that has confronted the concerns and complaints of their customers more than any other game I've ever seen, really. They don't let these criticisms go in one ear and out the other, like they could easily do. You know, they could just completely ignore these complaints that people bring up all the time. And they don't get upset at the players for having their opinions. They listen and they react, you know, when it makes sense to do so. They don't just blindly do everything that the community tells them to do. But when it makes sense and when it's something that they can actually implement, they really try their hardest to do it. And, you know, their community management team is really growing by leaps and bounds lately. So I think they're really starting to establish that more to help address the player issues. So what I'm saying, basically, through all this rambling, is, number one, I'm not bashing ArenaNet for anything. I love this game enough to make a podcast about it, which is insane if you sit and think about it for a second. And number two, I'm not going to stop giving my honest opinions on this show. I don't have sponsors to tell me what to say, or I don't have restrictions or anything like that. You know, that's the beauty of podcasting. You can do whatever you want. You can say whatever you want, pretty much. The only reason I've become more vocal lately in expressing my opinions is probably because I'm just getting more comfortable with it. Now, that doesn't mean that this is going to turn into an editorial show. Not at all. Not one bit. But it seems like through my experiences with other podcasts that I listen to, I think it's safe to say that most people enjoy the honesty and personality of a host more than just a biased, restricted report on facts. So can I get an amen? Anyway, so now that that's out of the way. If you haven't seen the Guildcast wiki yet, you can go check that out at www.guildcast.com/wiki. It's really been coming along nicely, especially in this last week, thanks to a guy named Lemmy Winks, who is, his name is just Lem on the forums, L-E-M. He's gone through and he's cleaned up quite a bit and added a few new categories and descriptions and things like that, just a ton of new things. So I'd like to say thank you to Lem for all his work that he's done, and to everyone else who's contributed to getting this wiki up and running. Right now I'm kind of just going through and adding descriptions and links wherever I can, and I'm trying to do as much as possible with my very limited wiki knowledge, but it's certainly coming along rather nicely, I think. On episode 42's entry, I actually put in a full transcript, word for word, on that show, except for Lady Sinea's part, but I was able to do that because I had such detailed notes, and I just went back and I listened to the show and I added in, you know, I filled in the parts where I strayed from the notes, and that was a lot more work than I imagined, so I wouldn't really expect me to be doing that for too many more shows, but it was just a little experiment I thought I'd try out. So, last week was that Assassin show, and it seemed to be a pretty big hit. A lot of people like that. I know I ripped on the Assassin pretty hard, but on the day that I released that episode, I went against all of my morals and beliefs. You know, I soiled my family's good name and brought dishonor to my ancestors, and I created an Assassin. Okay, let me just give you time to pick yourselves up off the floor now. Okay, you with me? Okay, good. Even more shocking, though, get this. I don't think the assassin is all that bad. I think the worst part is playing through the Xingjie Island quests and missions again, but I can't hold that against my cute little ponytailed ninja girl. She is pretty cute, too. I made her really tiny, like as small as my monk priestess Julie, so when she does these little flips and spins and stuff, I just want to stop and be like, "Oh, look at the little ninja girl." But I am really getting the hang of this whole shadow stepping thing, and shadow stepping in, attacking, and then shadow stepping back out. And to be able to do that without dying is—it's not really that hard. So it's actually kind of fun. So yeah, I think I'm starting to get this stuff down. Although I haven't joined a pickup group yet, but the henchies haven't complained yet. Titles are an in-game representation of the achievements of your character or account, meaning some titles are earned per account, while some are earned per character. You can display only one title at a time, although you can have several titles that you are working towards concurrently. Each title has its own title progression bar that is displayed in the hero window if you press H, and most titles have varying levels of achievement. Titles were first introduced to Guild Wars with Chapter 2, Factions. Personally, I like the whole concept of titles, and I think it really added a whole new life to the game. I know of a few people who aren't even really that interested in factions itself, but only the titles that you can earn. So it was definitely a wise addition to the game with factions. Now for the account-based titles, these titles are given to all characters on the same account. And a good example of this is the champion title. These titles are granted to an account that has won a number of high-rated GVG battles. And I'll just go over these basically. First you have champion, which is 25 GVG battles won. Then you have fierce champion, which is 50. Mighty champion, which is 100. Deadly champion, which is 168. And then terrifying champion, which is 280. But take note that both guilds involved must have a rating of 1200 or more for the battle to be considered high rated. And this was an update on July 7th. That actually changed it. It was originally 1500 that the opposing guild's rank had to be, but they just changed it to 1200. And also the ladder must not be frozen during this time to earn your title. And now for the gladiator title, these titles are granted to an account with a number of streaks of consecutive wins in the random and team arenas. So the different levels of this, I'll just go over really quickly. You have gladiator, which is the first tier, then you have fierce gladiator, mighty gladiator, deadly gladiator, terrifying gladiator, conquering gladiator, and subjugating gladiator. Now, note that these titles are not retroactive, which means that the streaks must have been won after the release of Guild Wars Factions. So this isn't something that you could have earned before and then automatically get the titles, such as, for example, the Explorer title is like that. Now, for the hero title, these PvP titles, I'm not really going to go into detail on these, like the last two that I said, because I think that Solero is going to go into more detail on these, so I'm just going to touch on them really basically. But for the hero titles, they're based on rank and fame. Like, the first tier is hero, which you need rank 1, and you need 25 fame. And then it goes up from there to fierce hero, which is rank 2, mighty hero, 3, deadly hero, terrifying hero, conquering hero, subjugating hero, vanquishing hero, renowned hero, illustrious hero, eminent hero, king's hero, emperor's hero, and Balthazar's hero. And that goes all the way up to rank 14, which is equivalent to 60,000 fame. I can't even imagine getting that far. But one thing to note, though, about these is that your title won't show up unless you're at least rank 3, which is the mighty hero. So if you're just rank 1 or 2, it won't even show up. So I'm not even really sure why they put those in there. And then there's allegiance titles that are also tied to PvP. And these are tied to the transfer of faction to your alliance. And like, for example, if you transfer 250,000 faction to your alliance, you get the Friend of the Kurzix or Friend of the Luxens title. And this goes up to Ally of the Kurzix, which is 550,000. Then Steward of the Kurzix Luxens, which is 1.2 million. Defender of the Kurzix or Luxens, which is 2.5 million. Champion of the Kurzix or Luxens, which is 5 million. And then Savior of the Kurzix or Luxens, which is 10 million faction. I think I mentioned in the last show that I was going to shoot for this title. And, yeah, that's probably not going to happen. So I'm probably going to shoot for another one, see how that works out. Now, a while back, they had a, during the Dragon Festival, I think it was, they had the, they introduced the Lucky and Unlucky titles, where you basically, you win tickets in these games of chance, and they're based on your luck in these games of chance. Well, the Lucky title goes Charmed first, which is 50,000 tickets won. Then it goes up to Lucky, which is 100,000 tickets won. Favored, which is 250,000. Prosperous, which is 500,000. And then Blessed by Fate, which is 2,500,000 tickets won. Statistically, it would take, on average, 43.33 days to win 2.5 million tickets. So, this implies, although it's unconfirmed, that ArenaNet intends to offer games of chance in future events in order to make the higher tiers possible, because it's no longer possible for you to win tickets in these games of chance anymore. That title was only for that weekend during that Dragon Fest. And concurrently to that is the Unlucky title, which goes hand in hand, where if you lose games of chance, you get these titles. And it starts out with Hapless, which is 5,000, Unlucky is 10,000, Unfavored is 25,000, Tragic is 50,000, and according to GuildWiki, no one knows what the maximum level is called, which is supposedly 500,000 games of chance. So if anybody knows that, maybe put a comment to this, to the show notes for today, or maybe put it in the forum, because apparently no one knows what that is. Anyway, so those were all account-based titles, where if you get that title on one character, anyone in your account can have that title. Now, these next ones I'm going to mention are character-based titles, where the character that actually gets this title is the only one in your account that can have that title. The first one I'll start out with is Skill Hunter. This is granted to a character for acquiring elite skills. So if you cap 90 elite skills, you're considered a skill hunter. If you cap 135, you're considered an adept skill hunter. Advanced skill hunter is 180, and expert skill hunter is 225. Now, as of the state of the game currently, there are only 180 elites available for skill capture. So the next tier of expert skill hunter can only be assumed to be in existence because of the new elites that will become available with Nightfall. So this title cannot be maxed out as of right now. Now for the exploration titles, you have Explorers of Tyria and Kanta, which are two separate titles, and they're based on how much of the map that you've uncovered. And the first tier of that is Explorer, with 60% uncovered. Then you have Pathfinder, which is 70%, Trailblazer, which is 80%, Cartographer, which is 90%, Master Cartographer at 95%, and Grandmaster Cartographer at 100%. Now, areas that count for this title are only the ones which show up on the main map of Tyria or Kanta. So this excludes areas without a map, like the UW or FOW, and it excludes Pre-Searing and, of course, the Battle Isles. Now, this is kind of strange, I thought, but old Tyrian arenas that are no longer reachable do count. However, there is a little leeway granted for reaching these titles. Players do not have to actually uncover every last corner of the map to reach 100%. So apparently there's like 102% of the map there, I'm guessing. And then we go on to the mission completion titles. These titles are granted to a character for completing all missions of a campaign at the highest possible reward level. So for Prophecies, you have the Protector of Tyria title, which means that you've done all 25 missions and all 25 bonuses, and this includes the Doppelganger battle. And for the Protector of Kanta, you have to do all 13 missions at Master's Reward. And then we have the ever-popular Drunkard title. This one costs quite a bit of money to go for the max level, but a lot of people have actually tried for it. And what it is it's a title that's granted to a character for spending a certain amount of time being drunk in the game. And no, that's not drunk in real life, that's drunk in the game. For example, the first tier of that is called Drunkard, and that's spending 1,000 minutes drunk. And Incorrigible Alehound is the max level, which is spending 10,000 minutes drunk. And then we go on to the treasure hunting titles. These are granted to a character for opening high-end chests. Now, it should be noted that high-end chests can be identified by the cost of the key to open that chest type. If the key normally costs 600 gold or more from a merchant, then the types of chests that the keys open would be classified as high-end and count towards this title. Also, assuming that you bought all the keys from the merchants at 600 gold, you would be paying 6 million gold for all 10,000 chests that you would need for the highest level of this. So starting out, you have Treasure Hunter, which is 100 high-end chests opened. And then you have Adept Treasure Hunter, which is 250, Advanced Treasure Hunter, which is 550, Expert Treasure Hunter, which is 1,200, Elite Treasure Hunter, which is 2,500, Master Treasure Hunter, which is 5,000, and then Grandmaster Treasure Hunter, which is opening 10,000 high-end chests. And then next we have the Wisdom titles, which are granted to a character for identifying rare items. The first tier of this is called Seeker of Wisdom, when you identify 100 rare items. Then we have Collector of Wisdom for 250, Devotee of Wisdom for 550, Devourer of Wisdom for 1,200, Font of Wisdom, which is 2,500, Oracle of Wisdom, which is 5,000, and Source of Wisdom, which is 10,000 rare items identified. Now this next one, I originally thought was insanely impossible, and when I first heard about it, but I've seen a lot of these titles around. And what it is, it's the Survivor title. And the way you got to do this is you have to obtain a certain amount of experience without dying. But once you gain that title, like if you get to that first tier of this Survivor title, and then you die after that, you won't lose your title, but you won't be able to go on to the next level of the title. So starting out, we have Survivor, which is 140,600 experience gained without dying. And then the next level up is Indomitable Survivor, which is 587,500 experience without dying. And then the third and maximum level of this is Legendary Survivor, which is 1,337,500 experience gained without dying. It's important to notice that deaths caused by failing missions, resigning, and missions in which you must die do not count against this. That first tier is gained at level 20, so that 140,600 experience that's when you hit level 20. And if you take a look at that 1,337,500, it's a little joke that ArenaNet put in there to make it look like LEET, you know, the L-E-E-T. And finally, we have the king of all titles, the kind of a big deal title. This is granted to characters who have earned 5 titles at the highest tier. So if you had the title of Source of Wisdom and Grandmaster Treasure Hunter and Grandmaster Cartographer, Expert Skill Hunter, and Protector of Kantha, is that 5? 1, 2, 3, 4. Anyway, if you get 5 at the highest that you can go, that's when you get this title, kind of a big deal. I have seen one person with this title so far, and my hat goes off to them because that's some dedication right there. My characters don't really have anything spectacular when it comes to titles. Actually, one of my titles just kind of fell into my lap when they were first introduced, and that was the 70% Tyrion Exploration one with my Warrior Walmart special. But since then, I've worked towards a few others, like my monk has Protector of Tyria, which admittedly isn't really that hard with a monk. You can get in any group with a monk. I'd like to get her Protector of Kantha as well, and she did beat Kantha through the missions, but she doesn't have masters in all of them. So I need to go back and finish a few more of those. But I wanted to do that just in case they combine them with, like, a protector of Alona when Nightfall comes out. And hopefully they'll make, like, a Protector of the Universe title or whatever, where they're going to combine all of the Protector titles into one giant one, you know, for all the chapters. I don't know when they would be able to do that, because they're going to keep introducing new chapters, but hopefully they'll do that one day. Now, my Ranger has the 80% Kanthan Exploration title, which, again, isn't really that hard in Kantha, since it's so packed together and it's such a small map. Other than that, though, I hope they introduce some new ones with Nightfall, and I'm really looking forward to that, because these titles have really become quite a hit among players. In this short skills and build segment, I'll be talking about a nice little elite skill for the Ritualist called Signet of Spirits. You gain 1 to 6 energy for each spirit in the area, maximum 5 to 17 energy. This elite channeling magic signet costs no energy, has a 1 second activation time, and a 20 second recharge time. You can only cap it from Wag Spirit Speak in Ferndale. When I first came across this spell, I didn't even really think twice about it, but then I realized that if you're running a high spirit summoning build, this can really help you out a lot in regaining your energy once you have the spirits set up. So if you max out your channeling magic attribute to 16 with the superior rune and a channeling headpiece, then you can gain 7 energy per spirit with a maximum of 21. That's a pretty healthy chunk of energy regained in 1 second with one spell. And if you combine this with something like Boon of Creation, it'll really help you with your energy management as a Ritualist Spirit Spammer.
Hey all, this is Lady Sinea bringing you the word on the street. I got a few emails in the past few days, but by far the worst response that I had to last week's rant was that the Shadowed Blade did not like the way I pronounced the word Pwn. I was devastated by this feedback and hope that it has not ruined my reputation in his eyes. A person named Morals Isabel asked me if I would say hello to his daughter, so hello, Dar. And I just wanted to say that Lem has been doing some fantastic work on the Guildcast Wiki. It looks great, and I just wanted to give him a bit of recognition for that. If you haven't seen it yet, you should go check it out and see what he's done. We also, of course, welcome you to make your own contributions to it as well. Now, in this episode, we're talking about titles, which is quite appropriate because just this past week, I got the Advanced Skill Hunter title, which is level 3 of that. What this title means is that you've capped all 180 skills in both Tyria and Kantha, and I'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. A couple of titles that I've gotten just by simply doing routine playing and a little bit of work are level 1 of both the Wisdom and Treasure Hunter. I got the Wisdom one pretty fast because what I did was any time I got a gold item on any of my characters, I transferred it over to my monk and had her ID it, so then that accumulated the numbers pretty quick. The only titles that I kind of regret having worked for are the Lucky and Unlucky ones. Man, what a money sink. I'm not really sure how much I actually spent on tickets during that festival, but I'm pretty sure that it was a lot more than I had at first estimated, because I know that I made a lot of money during the festival, and I ended up, at the end of it, totally broke. So I don't really want to think about how much I really spent on all those tickets. Now, one title that I really want to get is kind of a big deal, and what that is getting max on 5 different titles. I have max on 2, Protector of Tyria and Protector of Kantha, and those are probably the easiest ones to max because they are very finite and they don't cost a bazillion gold. The third one I get will probably end up being the Protector of Alonia. So what I've thought my 4th and 5th titles will probably be are mapping, unless I end up getting totally fed up with that and just end up getting the protectors for chapter 4 and 5. The only problem with mapping is that when I start it, I get really bored right away, and once you start, you don't really want to quit in the middle of an area. So, I don't know. I've got about 75% of each of the 2 maps done, and I'd have to go back and comb through everything that I've already been through just to make sure I don't miss anything. Also, I was doing a little bit of reading on it, and there are several places in both maps where you need necrotic traversal in order to reach certain areas. And I didn't see it written anywhere, but there are things that I know you have to do. Like if you walk out along the beach, as far out into the water as you can, as you map it, the water turns a slightly lighter blue on the map. So, I don't know, I might start trying for that. Maybe in little chunks so I don't get too bored with it. Now, about the Skill Hunter title that I got this week. This was yet another crazy endeavor that I somehow let Loudon talk me into. At first, I thought it would be really boring and tedious, but once I started doing it, I got really into it. And every day, I was busily slaying beasts so I could steal their knowledge from them. So much that my guildies were starting to tease me and tell me that I have a real problem because this obsession was starting to become unhealthy. But they're probably right. I'm actually really looking forward to Nightfall now so that I can go skill capping again. The next tier of this title is to get 225 skills, but we have no idea what the actual max for this title is. It could very well be infinite if they keep putting out new chapters and new skills. I helped Solero out with a mission that he needed last week, and I also needed a couple of caps there, and he was asking me, why are you even bothering to cap that? Because I was getting a couple of ranger skills that I know my monk is never going to use. But I have to point out, because of this crazy skill capping spree, I now have all of the elites unlocked on my account. And yeah, so it did cost 180k, but it was actually a lot easier for me, as primarily a role player, to unlock the skills by capping rather than by using faction. What faction I have been getting from alliance battles and such, I've been using to unlock weapon mods and runes that just haven't dropped for me. So I've actually got all of the available weapon mods unlocked now, except for daggers, and a good portion of all the runes. I am now on a quest to unlock everything, because something happened this week which really ticked me off. By now, I'm sure you've heard that in the Guild Wars online store, you can purchase unlock packs for all of the prophecy skills, and that is what's making me so mad. Yes, I know that it doesn't really affect me as a role player, and I know that it does not unbalance the game. And yes, it's not going to give anyone a real advantage over one another in PvP. But the way I see it is, it's still paying real-world money for something in the game. As far as I'm concerned, if they're going to do this, they might as well sell items too. What's the difference? None that I can see. I've been playing this game for well over a year, so I've been around for all of the changes and nerfs and everything that has gone on. I've seen people get outraged by things, but I'm always the one to tell them that they just need to relax and not get so mad, telling them to chill out because it's just a game, right? But this is the first time ArenaNet has done anything that actually angered me. Prior to this week, I seriously was considering buying a couple of character slots, remaking my Mesmer and my Ellie onto my primary account and trying for Survivor titles. But now, simply out of principle, I don't want to spend any money in the Guild Wars store at all. Maybe PvPers will disagree with me on this, that maybe it's better because being able to instantly unlock all the skills evens out the playing field, but in my eyes, it doesn't. Why don't you just play the game? If you really want a certain skill, come on, it's only 1,000 faction per skill, or 3,000 for an elite. Even me, as a very casual PvPer, I am making plenty of Balthazar faction in each game that I play, so I know that the more serious PvPers surely have to be making much more than I am. Farming for faction or farming for gold, how different is it really? Why is it wrong to eBay gold, yet it's perfectly fine to basically buy a whole ton of faction from the Guild Wars store? I say it's a ridiculous double standard. Play the game, I say. My rebuttal to all this is that I'm going to just unlock everything without spending a dime. And yeah, maybe I'm not going to need all these things because I don't roll as many PvP characters, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm already well on the way to doing this, simply because of all the regular routine playing I just do. So, in your face, ain't it? Sorry, but unless you come out with something I really, really want, the Guild Wars store has lost me forever as a customer. This has been Lady Sinea bringing you The Word on the Street.
Hi, Solero here, bringing you yet another PvP segment. And I recorded one, and because this week we are talking about titles, and titles have a lot to do with PvP, getting your rank 3 and being able to do that slash rank emote is a big goal of mine in Guild Wars, and I'm almost there. I'm on rank 2. I just have to get that 180 fame as opposed to my, like, 80 I have right now. I've got a bit of work ahead of me, but I'm sure I can do it sometime soon. But I wanted to kind of get off track here just a little bit, because there was quite a big update for at least PvP players. And I have... Everyone's deserving of a little bit of madness every now and again. Lady Sinea has made fun of Kanta numerous times and poked fun at that. I think I deserve my right to kind of get angry at my own little problems with this new update. As some of you may know, if you check the updates page on Guild Wars, that in the online store for $10, you can now purchase all the PvP skills for a certain core profession, or for $40, you can purchase all of the core professions. Now, I won't be purchasing any of these. I don't know about the rest of you, but to me, that's kind of backwards thinking on how Guild Wars has worked and part of their terms and agreement. Like we were saying before, if you could buy, like, certain green weapons or buy certain weapons in the game, that went backwards from what they were saying before in your terms and agreement. And to me, the PvP skills go the same way. I know that even it's just PvP skills, they don't affect PvE, but if you just can buy all the skills, some people may go straight into PvP and think that because they have all the skills that they can just throw themselves into a build and automatically know what's going on just because they know what skills they have. And to a certain degree that can happen, but you can't just throw yourself into it and just expect to be good just because you have all these skills. And I'm afraid a lot of people are going to say, hey, all these PvP skills can be unlocked, why don't I just buy them? And you'll get a lot of what I call the rich kid syndrome, the eBay syndrome, where people think they're so good because they have so much money that they can eBay gold and they can do this or they can do that. And they really take away from the people that actually work for it. And I still look at people, and I know I'm guilty of saying it, and I know I shouldn't do this, but I look at people that are wearing Fisher armor and say, well, did they really buy it? Did they eBay it? And the same thing now is going to be said to people who say they can run builds because they have the skills. It's like, did they buy it? Did they earn it? What happened there? And it really makes me wonder about the future, how people are going to be able to tell. Because I think if they are going to do this, if it is going to be you can buy certain skills, there should be a way to show that the person did buy those skills. And that way it's kind of like a mark. Like, yeah, you bought it, but everybody can see that it's only because you have the money to spend on these skills. It's not like you played and you earned it. You had the money to spend. Or you didn't take the time into it to really do the build and really learn about it. And to me, something like that, if you did mark them apart from the rest, they would still have to prove themselves before coming in the group, which would be okay. But if it's undermining the entire thing, that kind of makes me really shaky about that online store. And I really am not a fan of that right now. And I guess that is all I have to say about that. Just, I had to rant and wonder why ArenaNet did it. It makes me question a lot of this online store thing. If they're doing that for PvP, what will come along for PvE as well? And it's, I think it's a mess personally, but if anybody out there thinks differently, that thinks that buying PvP skills with real world money is a good idea, anybody out there, anybody that thinks it's a good idea, please come and tell me, because I don't think I've talked to one person yet that thinks it's a good idea that people should be able to do that. But on the more pressing matters, the titles. The titles for PvP abound, and they actually started with Heroes Ascent and the different titles there. And that's where the titles all came from to begin with. And that's come about because in PvP, there was a need to kind of show who's fought more than others and who knows. And they go, the champion title track for GVG and the gladiator title track for Team Arenas, and then the hero title track for Heroes Ascent is really something that really sets GVG apart, because it's not how many of this can you get, how many of that can you get, it's how many wins can you get. So there's no way, there's not really a way for the other ones either, like lucky or unlucky or your skill hunters, but these really depend on you having the best team possible. And my favorite, and the one I'm going after the most later on when I get a little more time and my everything calms down, is going to be the hero titles. And the hero titles started in Heroes Ascent, and you start out and you're at rank 0, and then you go up in ranks. The first rank you get is at 25, and then it goes from 25 to 75, which is quite a big jump to me, and then 75 to 180, and then when you get 180, you get what's called the Mighty Hero title, and that would be rank 3. When you go into Heroes Ascent, you always see rank 3 plus, and that's because when you do the emote rank in your text bar, it actually, at rank 3, will give out, I believe it's a moose. I'm not sure on this, I can't remember exactly, but you can do what's called wearing your title at rank 3 and above. And then every third one after that, or every two after that, or something like that, there's a different emote, and a different animal will appear. And I believe the last one they said for Balthazar's hero is a phoenix that will actually fly out of the normal circle and fly around your character and then back in for the end. But I have yet to see anybody with the Balthazar's hero emote, and I'm kind of anxious to see that. And if any of the listeners happen to have that, I would really like to see that emote. But moving on, that really is terms for a lot of elitism in the title tracks there, because people don't want to be in a rank below 3 group when they're rank 3, because they view the people below rank 3 as not as good as them, or that they don't know what they're doing. And that may or may not be true, but I don't look at rank as skill, because people have I-weighed rank. And sometimes you gotta look past the rank and maybe, okay, not go into a rank 3 group. Maybe go into, like, just a low rank group and just see what happens. Because sometimes the best players are found at rank 0. I know it has happened to me before, so go ahead and search them out. And when it comes to titles in PvP, don't always believe what you see, I guess I'm trying to say. So, with my little rant and with my on-topic points, Swile Prince Solero signing off for another PvP segment.
So that'll do it for another episode of Guildcast. But I wanted to talk really quickly about some ideas that I had for the next few shows. Next week would ordinarily be our Skype email show, since it's the fifth show, it'll be 45. But Lady Sinea will actually not be available, so instead we'll be doing the Elementalist episode. And then the week after that, for episode 46, we'll be doing our Skype email show then. But I figured we'd try something a little bit different this time. What I'm going to do is I'm going to invite everyone who has Skype to join us for a call-in show of sorts, where you can actually call in and talk to us while we're recording. That way you can interact with both me, Lady Sinea, and Solero, and ask us any questions that you'd like. I'll give more details next week, but I'm thinking it could be something like maybe one question per person, or maybe like a 1 or 2 minute time limit for each person. Something like that to help things, you know, keep moving along. And we'd only do it for maybe 30, maybe 45 minutes or so, somewhere around there. And of course, it won't be exactly live, since I'll still need to edit the rest of the show before releasing it. But I think that, you know, that could be something that could be fun for people. Maybe for people who want to participate a little bit more in the show, or maybe get their voices out there by interacting with us instead of just sending us a voicemail. So between now and then, if you're not already on my friends list on Skype, go ahead and send me an invite at username Guildcast, and then you'll be all set. And for those of you who know me well enough, you might know that I'm a bit of a planner. I like to plan things way in advance, so it should be no surprise that for a while now, I've kept up with having the next 10 or 12 future show themes already planned out. I'm not going to go over everything I have planned, but I just wanted to mention that for episode 50, I do have something special planned. I'm guessing since it'll be so close to the release of Nightfall that it might coincide with the special event weekend, if they have one during that time. But even so, I'll still be spending most of that episode as kind of like a reflection on the progress of Guildcast. Maybe go over how it started, how I got into podcasting, you know, everything like that. I'm pretty excited about this, actually, because it'll mostly be like a long story instead of just reciting facts and figures, which I do a lot on Guildcast. But in fact, I've actually started writing that episode already, even though it's, 5, 6 weeks away. So last week we had that running contest, and it went fairly well, except for the fact that not too many people showed up. But the Shattered Blade made his comeback by winning this one. And the Shining Shield came in second. This weekend, I have a bounty contest in the forums that I added on last Wednesday, and it's actually going to end Sunday night. So check that out if you haven't already. I believe it ends on September 3rd at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But until next time, be sure to spread the word, tell your friends, and tell your guildmates about guildcast.com.